Good morning. For those of you who might be watching online, if this is new, my name is Dominic. I'm the pastor here at Solid Rock Church. It's great to be here. And in praying about how to start today's sermon, I did think of something. So I'm going to give you the best moment of this past week for me. This past week's best moment. So, as most of you know, I work as full-time as a chaplain at Fox Run Retirement Community. And so one of the things that's a part of my job is there's a TV studio in that complex, 10 buildings, well over 1,000 residents. So TV studio, and every day they have something called The Daily Show. And it's kind of like a Good Morning America. It's a chance for the residents to get involved, because there's usually like nine or so a team of broadcasters and mics and do the weather and do sports and all that. So there's a team that gathers there every day. They rotate, get involved. But the show itself is hosted by a staff person. So they rotate staff people. So I've done it several times before, and they'll say, can you come host The Daily Show? Sure, sure. You know, we need somebody. So last week it was my day to host The Daily Show on Friday, this past Friday. And so I go into the studio, and just like everywhere else in the community, I mean, there's this cloud. There's this dark cloud over everything. Now, I don't want to make light of the situation. It is a retirement community, so everything going on especially affects them. But there was this cloud, and I just kind of praise it. Lord, you know, can I just say something that'll just inject some levity into this situation? Because, you know, I knew that since a lot of the activities, actually all of them, have been shut down, there'd be more people watching than normal. And so how they do it is there's a desk, you know, and they do the info music in the beginning, the intro music, and they have funny little things going on, and the little, you know, things, the Daily Show, you know, and then the lady goes, 10, 9, 8, and then point to me, right? So here I am at this sort of table, and next to me is my partner. Now, it's always a resident person. Resident is the partner. And so we go back. So I said, welcome to this edition of The Daily Show, you know, whatever. And I said, my name is Donald. And my partner today is, and she said her name, I won't say her name. And I said, well, that's a nice outfit. Why don't you tell us about your outfit? It was a striped black and white outfit. I said, well, it's my prison outfit, because we're going to be prisoners probably from now on. I said, the coronavirus restriction. I said, you know, speaking of that, you know, we got two cats in our house. You know, and they watch TV with us, so they know what's going on. And she said, really? I said, yeah. So I saw her smile a little bit. I know I got her going. I said, yeah, they know. In fact, this very morning, I was on my way out the house at the door on my way to work, and there's Cammie, our cat. She's curled up in the corner, eyes really big, and one paw covering her nose. I said, what? Give me a break. What? I can't believe this. And now the cat's shaking, looking at me. I said, wait a minute. Now, this virus thing, it went from animal to human, not the other way around. So don't you go getting all high and mighty with me. But she just shut her eyes and put her other paw over against her nose and hung on really tight. I said, great, fine. And I walked out the door. And with the chuckles that I was hearing, you could just feel the cloud just... And I thought, thank you, Lord. Think about it. I'm the chaplain. I'm supposed to have faith. They're probably wondering, well, what's he going to say? That's just a way to be a witness. And I'm telling this to you guys because, look, Steve Jones, our church is a member of a small denomination called the Missionary Church of Fort Wayne, and he sent out his video, and he was basically saying, look, this could be our finest hour as a church. You know, he said, hope we recognize the hand of God when we see it, because we've been praying for revival, and historically, if you're a student of history, you know that all revivals come simultaneous with some kind of social shaking, like the Civil War being one example. Can't you see what's going on? This is impossible any other way. The amount I mean, the amount. I was talking to Kim, and I said, you know, if a month ago you had described this day to me, I wouldn't have known what you're talking about. It would have been totally out of my frame of reference. And yet here we are. And then she looking at her phone. She said, look, listen to this news article. She looks at the news. She said, look. And it was an article about how all the movies that are out there, nobody's coming to watch them except for one. I still believe. It says that those movies are filled. They're filled. And so the article, probably written by a non-Christian, said, I guess those people have faith. Huh? Huh? There's many ways you can be a witness. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to cast shame on anybody who's here or might be watching or who's a believer in Jesus who might feel, you know, like I'm trying to shame you. I'm not. That's between you and God. If you need to take precautions, especially if you have older or little ones with you, that's between you and God. I'm just saying. So we're at the dinner table, right? And so Kim, she's riding a horse. There's a thing going on in Brighton, right, where she rides. And Olivia's at the table. And Olivia's saying, you know what they're doing in school? They're doing this and doing that. And Kim, I'm so proud of her. She says, what about Psalm 91? And I said, well, yeah. What's Psalm 91? And I said, yeah, because I can take a cue when I'm being given one. I said, yeah, that's the psalm that Satan quoted to Jesus when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, quoted Psalm 91. So if Satan even respects that scripture, so to speak, how much more should we know that it has the authority of God? And then Kim, she's on it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If you shall make the Lord my God, even my God, strength and refuge, then you shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day or by the plague that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, and yet it shall not come near thee. You know, that whole thing. So she's kind of reading and all this. And so another chance. Now Olivia walks with the Lord, but in that moment she needed a little bit of, you know, encouragement. We all do. We all do. So what are we going to talk about today? We are doing something, and I think it's pretty apropos. So I want to show you a map. So I thought, okay, fine, Lord. Let's take the bull by the horns and hit this thing head on. So that is a map. So if you who are a student of history, you know that the in history of humankind, the greatest plague, if you want to call it that, was in the 1300s. Anybody remember your high school? It's called the Black Plague. And there's different estimates that I guess 50 million people ended up dying from that, and it was, depending on how big you wanted to define Europe, it was either a third of Europe or maybe a half of Europe died from that. And the reason that was so particularly interesting if you're a student of history or religious history is because, show the next one, that is a map of the migration of the Jewish communities during that same period to escape persecution. Let's see if any of you remember. Why were the Jews being persecuted during the Black Plague? Because they didn't get the Black Plague. Why didn't they get the Black Plague? We're talking about 50 million people dying. Jewish communities were not affected by... Why were the Jewish communities not affected by the Black Plague? Very simple answer. Very good. They were following the law of Moses, which has certain dietary laws and quarantine laws. Remember how at the time of Jesus, you know, somebody with leprosy had to have a sign saying, unclean, stay away. They would do the separation thing as a matter of keeping the law. And so the disease did not affect the Jewish people. And it just made everybody really, really angry. Because they stuck together and they kept the laws and no one had to go in there and haul away any bodies. And so what would happen is nation after nation, there it is, would expel them. But worse than that, show the next slide. They had something called pogrom. Do you know what a pogrom is? It's an organized invasion, burning, and killing, and driving out of Jewish people. So that's why the previous map shows, well, they were here, but then they had to go here. And then they were here, and they had to run over here. And so if you watch Fiddler on the Roof, that's kind of the context there also. So how that fits in with today's lesson is that we're doing a series in the book of James, and it's called You and Your Separate Identity. The idea is that the series is called The James Bond, and this book points out how, as a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not, you're bound to certain things, certain concepts. One of them is your separate identity, that you're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. And if you are studying the book of James, you realize that he was leading the Jerusalem Council at that time. And so he's overseeing the Christians, so to speak, spread out throughout the Roman Empire. And so he's watching, and there's starting to be persecution. Most of them were Jews, but not all of them were. Some of them were Gentiles. And so what I was going to say is the next slide. James had appeared to James, his brother. And so James was leading Christians who were being persecuted for being different. I want to underline for being different. They were being persecuted for being different. But his answer to this was embrace being different. In fact, embrace being different six ways to Sunday. You ever hear that phrase, six ways to Sunday? Embrace being different. Do you and I embrace being different? Yes. Good. So if you read the book of James, there are subtle encouragement to be different kinds of statements sprinkled throughout the letter. So if you're reading it, it says a bunch of stuff, you know, about the power of the tongue and about helping poor people. But throughout, he's got this little, he's giving you little hints. By the way, be different. By the way, be different. By the way, be different. That's how we're going to talk about today. So I said six ways to Sunday, which means there's going to be six and then a seventh one. There you go. So let's look at this. Number one, I believe that in the book of James, you find evidence that he's basically saying, be different like a Jew. Because by that time, the Jews knew very well what it felt like to be different and be persecuted for being different. This is how the book of James starts. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. So, greetings. James 1:1. Notice what it says. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews. But does he know he's also speaking to Gentiles? And yet, what is he calling them? He's calling them Jews. You get the message? You're one of us now. We're going to be in this together. They hate us, they hate you too. But we're going to embrace that. This is the example from the Old Testament to prove what I'm saying. When the Jewish people were first exiled into Babylon, because at that time they were breaking the law of God, this is what God said to them. This is in Jeremiah 29. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Let me put it in context. This is what the Lord God of Israel says to all of you Christians who are in this kingdom, but you're citizens of another kingdom. This is my word to you. Now, the Babylonians hated the Jews. And yet, this is what God says. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, become fathers of sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters to be husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of that city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. These are people who hate them. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. So, number one, be different like a Jew means be in the world but not of it. Even if they're against us, we're to be a blessing. You hear what I said? You know, President Trump has made today a National Day of Prayer. That's going to have two responses. One's going to be, we're all going to pray. The other response is going to be, I hate him for doing that. Those are the two responses. But this is what it says in the Bible. In fact, let's stop right now. Stop right now. We're going to do that. We're going to pray right now. Let's pray. Father, it says to submit to the governing authorities. That's what it says in your word. And so we do respond to the fact that the president of our country is designated today as a National Day of Prayer. Lord, I just want to echo the things that you've been speaking to my heart for these, the people of this church. This could be our finest hour. We pray for this nation. We pray that you would humble us in a way that will cause us all to turn to you. We pray that you would take this, which perhaps the enemy meant for evil, because I don't believe you send disease, that you would take this and you turn it for good. We quote your word, we stand on your word, which says that he, the Lord God, causes all things to work together for good, that it is he who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what it says in your word. We stand on those scriptures and we just say, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in this nation and throughout the earth through this epidemic. Help us all to speak in our minds and our hearts. Psalm 91. In Jesus' name, amen. Number two, be different like Isaac was different. So James in the very beginning talks about Jews. He speaks to Gentiles and calls them Jews. Then he goes a little further and he suddenly brings up Isaac. So there's a hint of something that he's trying to say here. Watch this. This is James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? So let's go back real quick and revisit that story. This is in the Old Testament. God had chosen Abraham to be the father of faith, and he was too old, and his wife was too old, and God had promised that there'd be a son, and there'd be a nation, and by your seed all the peoples of the world will be blessed, and yet he's way too old. And God said to Abraham, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. But Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have the pleasure of my Lord being old also, the pleasure of having a child? But the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And by the way, if you keep reading, Sarah says, I didn't laugh. And then God says, no, you did laugh. By the way, what does Isaac mean? What's that word mean? Laughter. What does that mean? The fact that that's his name. It means whenever his name is spoken, it's a reminder that God did the impossible, that that person is here as a result of a miracle. Laughter. Isaac, imagine when Sarah had to call him for dinner. Isn't that great? I think that's awesome. All right. How does that relate to us Christians? So Isaac knew that he was born sovereignly from God. What about us? Here's what it says, John 1. As many as received him, Jesus, as many as welcomed Jesus into their hearts, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of any man, but of God. Your name is Isaac, if you believe in Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not. And James is hinting this. He's saying, what about Isaac? You get the picture? So if you're going to be different out in the world, if you're going to have faith, James is saying, first of all, realize that you're a Jew like all us other Jews. And second of all, remember who you are. You're a spiritual Isaac in this world. You're here by a sovereign act of God, and have faith. So to be different like Isaac was different means believe you are a miracle born of God. Number three, be different like a true friend is different. Be different like a true friend is different. And here's where it is in James chapter 2, verse 21. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And Jesus said it this way, John 15, 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So to be different like a true friend is different means enjoy the friendship that you have with God. Hang out with God. Talk to God about whatever, wherever you are. I'm walking into a TV studio in Fox Run, and it's only because I feel like I'm friends with God was I able in that moment to say, God, what am I going to say? And he popped something into my mind. Just tell him a funny little story, your cats. It just kind of started coming to me. You know, you'll see. You don't want to be insensitive, but if you see that they're starting to respond, you know you've got them. You can keep going. You can keep going. Just like when the lady started smiling. When I said, oh, you know, my cats, you know, they know what's going on, really. Oh, yeah, they know. Well, she knows. She knows what I'm doing, right? And that little smile was, okay, go ahead. You got me. Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. You see, you get the idea? That comes from being a friend of God. God's going to put you in situations where, you know, you don't want to be insensitive, but, you know, Carl, you're probably going to be able to do this a little easier than some of us other people are. But there's going to be a time when levity's going to be, you know, the Bible says that laughter makes good like a medicine. That's what it says. That's what it says, Bible. You know, and it may be time for you to, God will give you a joke or something. Let it be. If you want people to not think ill of you, let it be what's called self-deprecating. Let it be something about yourself where you kind of, you know, stick it to yourself a little bit and they'll take it in the right way. Boy, I hope you're listening to me on this. This is our chance, folks. This is our chance. Don't, on the one hand, don't say, oh, I'm going to die. And on the other hand, don't say, this is all stupid. Just say, God, what are you doing? This is too big. This has God written all over it. What are you doing? And God will say, well, I'm doing this kind of for you. Step up a little bit. That's why I'm doing this. Go to the theater tonight. So, to be different like a true friend means enjoy the friendship you have with God. Four, be different by being true and faithful the way that a wife or husband is true and faithful. This is what God does. As James is going, he all of a sudden talks about Rahab. So some of you don't know who Rahab was. Well, when God rose up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 sons of Israel, and eventually the 12 tribes of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt, and God sent Moses to deliver them, and now they're on their way to the promised land. So he disobeyed for a little bit, and they kind of had to wander, but then it was time to go in and take the promised land. So Joshua is the head of the army of Israel. Remember? Sunday school? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Okay, before that happened, he sends in two spies. The job of the two spies is to go in and kind of case the joint, kind of reconnoiter, kind of see what's going on. And so the two spies go in there, and there's a prostitute named Rahab that sees them and gives them shelter and hides them. Now, this is a big deal because the Canaanites, that's the nation there, and Jericho, they were into Baal worship. And so as part of their religion, there was prostitution. Their fertility rites and their fertility cults every year during the spring involved this massive orgies of prostitution. And so Rahab is a bad lady. But, I don't have time to go into it, she welcomes the spies. You know why she did? She tells them, I heard what happened in Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful empire of that time. She says, I heard what happened in Egypt, how God smote the Egyptians and split the sea, and you all came out with a mighty hand, and your God is the God of heaven and earth, and I believe that. That's what she said. She had an aha moment. This is what James says, James 2. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the spies and sent them out by another way? So let's quick revisit that. This is Joshua chapter 2. Rahab came up to the spies hiding on the roof. The roof was where they used to spread out the large bundles of grain to dry. So it was a good place to hide. And she said to the spies, I know. See that? I know that the Lord has given you this land. She already told them why she was doing this and how her belief system had totally changed. And they said to her, when the Lord gives us this land, we will deal kindly with you. Because God had said, when you go into Jericho, I mean, no quarter. Just level the place. Take out everybody. And they're saying, you know what? We're going to deal kindly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through a window, for her house was on the city wall. And she said to them, go up to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you. In other words, stay away from the roads. Just go into the hills. And she basically said, by the way, hide there for 3 days and then wait and then you can go. Then the men said to her, regarding the oath that you made us swear to you that she wouldn't die in her family, you must tie this cloth of scarlet thread. So one of them had a sash. A red sash, cloth of scarlet thread, takes it off. You must let it down through this window through which you let us down on the day when we come into the land, or else we'll free it from it. In other words, we will be free from protecting you if you don't mark your home by this red cloth. And Rahab, the harlot, and her father's household and all that she had were spared by Joshua. And she's lived in the midst of Israel unto this day. By the way, if you read in the beginning of Matthew, right, that long genealogy of beget, Rahab's in that line of Jesus. Isn't that something? The grace of God, the forgiveness of God. What was the red cloth symbolized? It was a prophecy. Just like the temple was a prophecy, the symbols. What was this, the red, come on now, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's going to save us on the day when God judges the earth. We've got the red scarlet thread of redemption on the doorposts of our heart, on the windows of our soul, on our eyes, and we're not going to be judged with everybody else. But if you don't have that cloth, deal's off, right? That's what he said. So to be different by being true and faithful, like a husband and wife is to live in his kingdom and not in sin. She lived in Israel and not in Canaan from that day forward. 5, be different by avoiding what's offensive to God. So here's James 4. Do you think it is for nothing that the scripture says that God jealously desires the spirit which he has given and made to dwell in us? So he uses the word jealousy. And to anybody who knows anything about the scripture, that word jealousy automatically dials up what? Yes. Where is that word prominent in the Old Testament? Yes. Very good. This is the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. You shall not make for yourself an idol, this is to worship false gods, or likeness of anything which is in heaven above or earth beneath. You shall not worship and serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, much love, but loving kindness, chesed. Chesed means covenant, loyalty, love. To thousands of what? Generations who love me and keep my commandments. So there's no contest. God loves you. But it says in the New Testament, it says, don't be deceived. Whatever you shall sow, that shall you also reap. Now, I believe if you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. But why suffer consequences now? Because he just might say, you know what? I love you, and you're going to go to heaven, but you did that, you're going to pay the consequences, as any good father or mother would do. Come on now. So, 5, to be different by avoiding what's offensive to God means don't sow sin so that you won't reap consequences. Just because you know the blood of Jesus will keep you from being condemned in the day of judgment doesn't mean you have to be stupid. Because there's no cure for stupid. They're working on a vaccine, and they'll come up with one. There's no vaccine for stupid. Number 6, be different by keeping an I am loved mentality. So when everybody else is afraid, when everybody else is in a panic, when everybody else is going down to Costco getting, we went to Costco. There's people hoarding grape nuts and stuff I know they're never going to eat. Organic sunflower seeds and then the guy next to, well, maybe I should get some of those. Keep an I am loved mentality. James 4. This is how James wraps up basically his letter. But God gives greater grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. We are in the age of grace. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. In other words, that's why it's his kindness that leads to repentance. It's because you don't deserve anything, but you have everything, that you give him your everything. That's how it works. This is what it says in Ephesians. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. You're loved. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But as Christ who lives in me, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and so gave his life for me. This is how Peter says it, Apostle Peter. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've got that in you right now. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So if we've talked about this, if we live out of our spirit where the Holy Spirit is with you, spirit to spirit, in the sort of on the other side, in the other realm where we live, then that's going to come out naturally. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So to be different by keeping an I am loved mentality means don't worry, be happy. Remember the song? Okay. But if James was encouraging us to be different 6 ways a Sunday, what is the Sunday that these 6 ways have been leading to? Number 7, be different to make a difference. Be different to make a difference. If you're talking to somebody about this stuff, gosh, you can always have a conversation nowadays. Maybe somebody has an older person. Can we pray for Aunt Millie or whatever? offer to pray for people and then watch what God does. Don't be afraid. This is our finest hour. You'll see. God is doing something amazing. Close with this. So, what is this logo? It's the logo of an organization called Christians United for Israel. There's like five to seven million people involved, and it's mainly out there. And one of the main things they're doing is there. Here's this other logo here. Go ahead. Now, you know, if you're a citizen of the United States, we do have a First Amendment, and if you choose to go along with this, you know, that's your right to do so. I wouldn't do it. BDS stands for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And what they're trying to do is bring Israel to its knees by boycotts, divestment, and sanctions. But the Old Testament, Abraham, for one, have received certain promises, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One of them is the land, which he promised he would gather them back to, which he's doing. And another one is, it's called the Abrahamic Covenant. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's to the Jewish people. So I wouldn't do that. But you know what? I guess that's between you and God. If you're listening to my voice or hearing me and you want to express your free speech, that's fine. I wouldn't do it. But God is doing something in the church, and he's also doing something with the Jewish people. So we have a couple people here that work for a ministry that ministers to Jewish people. Perhaps you've seen amazing things that you've been told about in this regard. This is the times we're living in. And, you know, Kim was on the same couch reading the one headline, and here's another headline. Scientists say that Israel is likely to announce development of a coronavirus vaccine. So the Israeli scientists are starting to say, you know, we think we might have figured something out. So I guess the way they get vaccines to viruses is they have to grow them, I guess, artificially and duplicate them. Because if they can do that, then they can figure out what all the processes are that make it function. And they can start to say, well, what protein is making it do this? What enzyme is enabling it to do that? And then they can try to neutralize those enzymes and those proteins. And that's kind of how they go about it. Well, that's not as easy as it sounds, you know. And so what we're hearing, I believe it's what I've, and I checked the internet before. So the Israelis are saying, you know what, we're close. And I think in Ontario there's a lab also, and in Texas. Those three, they're beginning to say the same thing. We think we might have figured out how the COVID-19 thing how it functions. And once they really figure that out, then it's a relatively short time to get a vaccine. Everybody following me on that? Why is that so hard to do? Because these things are really, really small. That's the short answer. Okay. But we know of a vaccine, don't we? You have been, I'm going to quote Steve Jones now, you have been infected with a virus called death, sin and death, the law of sin and death. There's only one vaccine. He's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay. I am the resurrection and the life. They that believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. I will raise them up on the last day. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the vaccine, now and in the age to come. So if you're here today or watching on the internet and you want that vaccine, just do what I did. I prayed a prayer. And since then, I'm free. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Son of God, that you came to take the punishment I deserve for my sins, past, present, and future. And you rose on the third day to conquer death so that I could live forever together with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for dying for my sins. Thank you that your blood cleanses me. Your blood is the eternal vaccine, the cosmic vaccine. So come into my life, Lord Jesus. I receive you. Live your life in me through your Spirit, and I will live for you and serve you by your power, by your Spirit, for the rest of my life. And Lord, count me in if you're recruiting people to be a witness for you in this day and time, that you are bigger than our troubles, that you're bigger than any plague, then count me in. Because I want my life to count for you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that over this church, Solid Rock Church, Lord. Never thought I'd be grateful that we're a small church. This morning I am. But I know that you do want us to grow. Give us that same mentality, Lord. That it's an all hands on deck moment in the heavenlies. And that this is our finest hour, and the best for us is yet to come. Help us to follow your lead and watch you work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.